chapter number 12. And we're talking about why the church, what's so important about the church. And remember, we talked about the church's purchase, that it was, well, we first talked about the church's plan. We talked about how that before the foundation of the world was, the church was planned because Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We talked about the church's purpose and our purchase, and then we talked about the church's purpose last week and about us being a pillar and a ground of truth. And we're going to continue that this week, Lord being our helper, and some things about the church. In Acts chapter number 12, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, Lord being our helper. And once again, it's good to see you this evening, and I hope and trust you've had a great day. And I thank the Lord for this morning. And but let's read, see what the Lord has for us tonight. The Bible says this: Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. The church had only been in existence now for just a few years. Okay? I mean, we're talking probably less than 10 years somewhere in there had the church been in existence. And with that being the case, Herod, the world, was already out to rid the church. Now, Brother Titus preached this morning talking about how that the cancel culture and all that's going on today, understand how that we know that the enemy is against us. But it's nothing new.
That's right.
Okay? Understand that. We've lived in a space of grace to the point that we've not faced persecution. But the gates of hell coming against the church is nothing new. So don't be discouraged. Look up. Amen? I mean, man, we're going to see tonight the importance of the church. What happens when one of the points tonight is what happens when the church prays. We're going to see what happens when the church prays. Man, I want to remind you that, man, we're not going down, we're going up. Amen? We're not going through, we're getting out. And understand that. Remind yourself of that. The good old days is over, but these days are here. I mean, and honestly, there is some characteristics of the good old days, okay? I mean, there were some times of simpler lives and sometimes of better morals and less decay of society. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm thankful I didn't have to hitch the mule up to the wagon and bring her to church tonight. Amen. I sure was glad to go in there and flip that shower on this morning and have hot water. And I sure enjoyed going to my house today after lunch, and it was 90 degrees outside and it was 73 on the inside. Amen. Now, I like a lot of things about the good old days, but I don't want to go back. Amen? I enjoy the luxuries of this century. But understand this, Herod vexed the church then. And so don't think that we're going to be against it, not out of it today. Notice what he says. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Huh? I mean, cut his head off. He killed him. James, John's brother. Why? Because he hated the church. All right? So I'm just setting the tone of what we're fixing to look into. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So the Jews were so excited and they were so pleased that Herod had beheaded killed James with the sword, that he thought, okay, I've pleased the crowd, the world has been pleased, now I'll go after Peter. Okay? And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. He had apprehended him, but he must have been a little bit scared of him. Because he put four cordons of soldiers just to guard him. It's one thing to be feared by man, but it's another thing to have the fear of God in you to be put upon man. Did you get that? It's one thing to fear Goliath the giant because of his stature and his power, but it's another thing to fear a man such as Peter who had the power of God upon him. And I'm talking about how grave the situation was. Herod was vexing the church. James had just been killed. Peter had just been apprehended and put into prison. Verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but, y'all get that? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." He went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through the street, on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art man." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the encouragement, Lord, from your word as we just read it. Lord God, you've already encouraged my heart. Lord, I pray that, God, that you'd burden our church, God, to be a place of prayer and a people of prayer. That, Lord God, we would be astonished by the great work of God, Lord, that you could do, Lord, in our lives and in our families. Lord, I pray even in our community. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would use me tonight and help us to see that the church is a place to be prayed, where prayers are to be prayed, where people are to bind together and pray one for another. Lord, to pray us out of harm's way. Lord, to pray us out of the grips of hell. Lord, to pray, dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, and to strengthen, Lord, those, God, that need strengthening. Help us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice here verse number 5. The Bible said, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." The church is a place where prayers are to be prayed. Now understand, as I've laid the foundation and I've talked to you about the severity of the situation that the church had found theirself in. Now understand, it bothers me, and I have made the mistake. I have made the statement. I even shared with you before last year when me and my children were headed to church, and we were talking about the onset of a couple of weeks. Okay, remember this couple of weeks that we're still suffering through. Y'all realize that, okay? Here we are about 14, 15 months later from them 2 weeks that, you know, we were going to just let things die down, and we're still suffering through it. You know, y'all remember that, okay? Well, it was about that time I was talking to my children. I remember driving to church, and I said, "Kids, we're in for some challenging times and some changing times." I said, "It could come to the fact that if within the next year," I said, "your daddy could be in prison for preaching the gospel." Now, we have seen that happen across the border in our neighboring country of Canada. It's even happened in the United States of America, in the state of the South, in Louisiana, last summer. And we see, and it has took us by surprise that the government has come against the church, or that the world has come against the church. Now, understand this. The government's only acting, remember, it's not the people or the persons in the authority, but it's the wind that's blowing that authority. And now realize this also, it's the people who are influencing that authority. But I want to remind you today, as I've said before, as we started this message, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to remind you in the end that Jesus still wins. Amen. He wins. We're on the winning side. Could it get a lot darker and hairier and dirtier before we get out of here? Well, yeah, sure could. But the fact of the matter is, we're getting out of here. Don't ever forget that. We're getting out. We're not just going through, we're getting out. Now, notice here, what happens when the church prays? Notice here in verse number 5, the Bible said that Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. I want to remind you this evening of the "but" in that verse. Peter found himself in a situation he didn't want to be in. Now, I hope to God that you would love me enough, and if I'd went into prison for preaching the gospel, I hope that you would pray for me, because I'm not ready to start a prison ministry. I'm just being honest with you. Amen. I had a jail ministry and I was on this side of the bar, but I'm not ready to start no prison ministry. But I want you to understand the "but" that happened in this situation, what the whole part that changed the whole facet of this story, the whole face of history, the whole case of the situation is that one word, a "but." Didn't change the circumstances that Peter was in. Didn't change the hurt that the anger and the frustration that Herod had toward the church. Did not change the desire that Herod had to vex the church. But the situation changed because one group of people did one thing. But prayer was made. Now, I want to say this to you. Sometimes we're afraid and ashamed to ask prayer for ourselves. That's of the devil. Now listen to me. If your church family can't pray for you, who can? The Bible tells us that we ought to bear one another's burdens. Amen? And God help me not to be so proud that I wouldn't ask you to pray for me when I'm going through a trial. And God help me not to be so cold and indifferent and callous that when you ask me to pray for you, that I wouldn't take the time to do it. We've seen what God could do with a little bit of prayer. We gathered here on that Wednesday night after service and prayed. We gathered on Thursday night and prayed. We gathered on Saturday night and we prayed. And as we prayed, man, we prayed God would do something great in the midst of us. And then God did. But we was kind of astonished at what God did. We're kind of like this crowd was. We're like, wow, man. But why did we pray? We prayed for that specific end. I recall the time that we prayed for Miss Gay, 24 hours. Thank the Lord. I don't remember if it's Brother Leo or Dr. Williams who made the schedule and said, "We're going to take slots. We're going to pray 24 hours." And we all banded together. We were apart, but we banded together. And at every hour for 24 hours before that surgery, we prayed. Here, this lady had 295% blockages in both of her arteries going to her brain. And man, that she ought to have been dead on the table. But beloved, God brought her through, and she sits here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And beloved, and that was some 2 years ago. Why? Because the church prayed. The church prayed. But Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what situation you're going through. It doesn't matter what stage of life it is. It doesn't matter how dark the days seem. Beloved, I want you to understand the same power that the church had, beloved, 2,000 years ago, and the power of prayer. Beloved, we as a local body, beloved, we have seen and experienced that. And it is amazing what God can do if we would just pray. The church prayed. But prayer was made. What happens when the church prays? Number one, when the church begins to pray, the armies of God are called to arms. You say, where do you see that? Well, the church prayed, and what happened? Look at verse number 7. The angel of the Lord came upon him. I'm talking about it wasn't by man. It wasn't by Peter's own doings. Now understand this. Peter had the Holy Ghost of God living inside of him. He's just like you and I was. I mean, beloved, he was just like you and I. And I don't know if Peter was scared. I figured that Peter was comforted because he was trusting in that one. I mean, remember, he said, Lord, I'll even die with you. We know he denied him 3 times, but then he went out and repented, and he come back, and then he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, Lord, I know that you know I love you. And we know that Peter there was had died. I'm there, and he lived for the Lord. But I really believe that Peter probably had some comfort in his heart knowing that God was going to see him through no matter what. Why? Because the Lord came walking upon the sea that day to him when he's in that boat. Peter's the same one that got out on the water and stepped out of the boat and started walking to the Lord. I believe he was trusting in God, no matter what come what may, but the church prayed. But the church prayed. See, sometimes we're afraid to ask the church to pray for us because we feel we're going to have to admit that we're weak, and it's not the fact that we don't trust the Lord. It's not the fact that we don't have comfort in the Lord and we're not assured. And may I say, I don't despise, but it just kind of throws me the wrong way to talk to someone and they talk about their problem and they say, well, I know the Lord's in control of all of it. Well, you're exactly right. But if you were so sure the Lord was in control of the situation, why are you so distressed about it? You ever thought about that? I know the Lord's in control too, but sometimes I still need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. People need you to pray for them. And when we pray, and beloved, the armies of God are called to arms. It wasn't a militant act that took place. It was a miracle that took place. Now there's a call to arms at times there for us, but I want you to understand when the church prayed together, when they came together, the Bible said in prayer was made, but the prayer was made without ceasing of the church and the God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, the angel of the Lord came. Prayer moves heaven on behalf of someone else. What you can't do, prayer can. You can't change the heart or change the situation. There's not a one of those at the church that could have marched in there that night and beloved had fought the soldiers and knocked them out or incapacitated them, however it was, unlocked the gates, went in, unlocked Peter, let him out, went to the gates of the city, opened them up, and beloved walked out. There's not a man that could have done that. If he could have done that, then he would have been as wanted as Peter would have. But oh, what a little bit of prayer done. That somebody called upon the name of the Lord. And may I say unto you, and may I present unto you as a church, beloved, it's not our duty and it's not our job. We are to take a stand, but I'm not marching up to the White House when I have the privilege, beloved, to march into the throne room of heaven, and beloved, call upon the name of the Lord. Beloved, I don't have the right to, or the privilege or the know-how. I'm to march into that hospital, and beloved, to touch that young lady there with the brain tumor. But beloved, I do have the power and the privilege to march into the throne room of heaven and beckon God and call upon the name of the Lord for someone that needs help. What a privilege we have. A privilege. Because when prayer is made, heaven moves. Not only that, but when prayer is made, saints are released from their bonds. Notice what happened here. Heaven moved and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. Let me show you, let me say something else here. Not only when we pray together, not only heaven moves, but I want to say this, I just seen this. He'll give that one that's in need some light in their situation. Have you ever been through going through something and you're just there and you feel like you're struggling and you've made prayers and you're doing your best and all of a sudden you feel like there's darkness and gloom and then all of a sudden it's just like the light comes on. The darkness just, you can't explain it. The darkness just kind of disappears. I just wonder if that's the time that someone has got on heaven's side for you. God has heard your prayer for me or my prayer for you. Oh, you mean the prayer does that? Who are we? Why are we so astonished that God answers prayer when the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing? When prayer, when the church prays, not only does it lighten the situation, but I want you to see this, saints are released from bonds. Peter was in prison. He raised him up, and as he raised him up, his chains fell off his hands. Now remember, he was chained between two soldiers, according to the verse before that. Peter's chained between two soldiers. Why? So that if one went to sleep or Peter knocked one out, and remember, they were scared of this thing called Christianity, and they wasn't Christians yet. I mean, according to the, that wasn't Acts chapter number, well, maybe it was in Acts chapter 12 here. No, Acts 11 is when they were first called Christians. But understand this, they remembered that this man died about 10 years ago and they buried him and he rose again, okay? And they was a little concerned about this resurrection stuff. And they was a little concerned about this superpower that these Christians had. So they put Peter between two of them. Did Peter have to do anything? No, he couldn't. But the church could. Well, preacher, I'm bound and I'm bond. I'm in bonds and I can't go on. I'm beloved, understand, there's nothing wrong with being found. I'm such as Peter is. Peter had done nothing wrong. He was not out of the will of God. He had not walked away from God. He was doing the best that he could, but he was in prison in bonds. And he felt he was trapped. He didn't just feel trapped. He was trapped. But the church prayed. And as the church prayed, beloved, the chains fell off of Peter. His bonds were broken. Would you like to have your bonds broken? Oh, but preacher, I'm saved. I am too. But I still, Peter was too. But he still found himself in bonds. Still found himself in prison. Was Peter out of the will of God? No. Was it because of sin? No. It was really because he was being obedient. Herod put him in jail because he was being obedient to the Lord. Understand this. Every time you're in bondage and every time you're in burden and every time you're in prison, it's not chastisement of the Lord. Sometimes it's because God's allowed you to get there because of your service to Him. I don't understand it. I don't always like it. But the fact of the matter is, it happens. But the church prayed. And when the church prayed, saints are released from their bonds. Now notice this. Not only when the church prays, the saints are released from their bonds. But not only notice this, when the church prays, the world becomes confounded. Notice here in verse number 12. Nope. Let me find it here. Verse 11. Now when Peter was come to himself and said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of Jews. And when he had said a thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and he knocked on the door. No, verse number 19. Here we are. The world was confounded. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Now, how many times have you heard the church prayed and the world be confounded? How many times in your life have you prayed and you've confounded the world? And I'm going to look at the saints being confounded, but I want to talk about the world being confounded. Well, doctors say, well, I don't know how that happened. But yes, 2 weeks ago there was a tumor. Now there's not. I don't know how that happened. There's 95% blockages, but this lady has no brain damage. They're confounded. Why? Because of natural things? No. Because of spiritual things. Because the church prayed. I'm talking about that's what the church is about. That's what we're to be doing, is praying. Now understand this, and here's what I want. Let me just say this to you. Prayer is not preparation of the battle. Prayer is the battle. Amen. What's the first thing that goes in your Christian life? Your prayer life. Your prayer life, your closet time with the Lord. That is where the battle is won. That is the battleground. Because understand this, Brother Wesley, the devil knows that if you don't intercede to God on behalf of somebody else, that God's not apt to move. The devil knows that if you don't get before God and confess your sins and get cleaned up, he knows that you're no match for him. Remember, prayer is not preparation for the battle, but prayer is the battle in this day and age that we live. Read Ephesians chapter 6. After you take on the whole armor of God, what does it say? Praying with all prayers and supplication and giving of thanks for the saints. That is the battle. We say, preacher, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. Pray. Prayer moves heaven on your behalf and on behalf of those others that you're praying for. And it releases and loose those bonds of those people that you're praying for. And you'll be astonished. But here's the problem, Brother Green. I just wonder this. I just wonder if Rhoda had been the only one that had prayed, would have got a move that way. Why did it say the church prayed without ceasing? The whole body. The whole body. Yeah. If I'm going to battle, I want everybody on my side.
Amen.
And when the church prayed, heaven moved, the saint was released of his bonds, the world stood astonished. But you know what? Saints did too. Hey, Peter come knocking on the door. Rhoda went and opened the door. Peter! Did it not say she closed the door on him? Peter was thinking, Man, I thought I was having a dream back yonder. The church was astonished that God moved on their behalf. Why are we astonished? Why do we act that way? But I want you to understand the whole key, the pinnacle, the turning point, the climax of this situation is in verse number 5. Peter was kept in prison, but. You ought to underline that in your Bible. That's the message. That's it. Peter's in prison, but preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what to do. You need the church to butt into your life. I'm not talking about airing your dirty laundry. I'm talking about bearing one another's burdens. I'm talking about having people pray for you. Understand this, the work God has never intended for you as a Christian to be a desperado. If He did, He'd put you on an island by yourself and let you enjoy yourself and Him. But He never intended you to be that way. That's why He put you in a church. That's why He put you in this church. You think you're here by accident? Let me go ahead and give you Let me give you this first. I'm coming back up here just for a second. I want you, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. This really bothered me for the long time. First Corinthians chapter 12. I mean, haphazardly, do you think a young man from Honduras ended up in California? Am I right? Back to Honduras, and then to where? Georgia? At Cleveland? To be a member of this church who was born 40-something years ago, 52 years ago, in a little village in Honduras. This man, hometown, birth town.
North Carolina.
I ain't going to tell you his age, his hair's done fell out. North Carolina. Come by one day. I don't know why he came. I have no idea. I don't know what brought him here the first time. I didn't invite him. I didn't even know who he was.
Hunting a place to serve the Lord.
God sent him here. Amen. You think that's by accident? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. Did I tell y'all the wrong verse? I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. I'm going to read that again. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him.
Amen.
Because it pleased you? No. Because it pleased Him. Well, I like it here.
Amen.
Well, God knew you'd like it here, so He put you here. But it pleased Him for you to be here. I'm not being Calvinist.
That's right.
Well, Lord, we need some young people. We need some young couples. And if we keep being faithful to the service of God and the work of God, guess what? God will put them here as it hath pleased Him. Lord, we need this. All right, so now here's back to my point. We have the Hollywood side of the church because they like being on camera. Okay. And we have the non-Hollywood side of the church that don't like the camera. And if you'll notice, there's more on the non-Hollywood side than there are the Hollywood side. The Corinthians and the Ephesians, alright? Alright? I mean, I couldn't ever figure it out, and then it finally dawned on me. I'm like, man, nobody won't sit on this side because that's where the camera is.
Nobody gave me a choice.
Nobody gave you a choice. But think about this just for a moment. Brother Wesley, God has placed you here for this time. Not just for your sake. Now listen to me. It's not just for your sake. Mm-hmm. It's for His sake. And His sake. And her sake. And her sake. And her sake. Amen. You're not here for yourself.
Amen.
You're here one for another. Amen. We're here one for another. God has put us together as it hath pleased Him as a body. Every member as it has pleased Him. And I can't have this one praying for me. Am I too ashamed to say, I need your prayers? If we can't pray one for another, and we can't bear one another's burdens, how in the world will we ever make a difference out there? Mm-hmm. Why the church? Because God's put us together to get us all through.
Amen. That's good.
We got to pray one for another. There are times, yeah, we can hold each other's hand and carry each other's load. But the fact of the matter is, when we pray, lives get changed.
Amen.
Things happen. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Because, remember, Peter was in prison. But the church prayed. You want your bonds released? And here's what amazes me. We're fixing to go offline. And I'm closing. Here's what amazes me. As we sit over here in bonds and in prison, but yet others never know that we're there. But if we had them praying for us, or even to the fact, let's reverse the role, we know that somebody is in bonds or in prison, but we're so selfish of our time that we don't pray for somebody else. But God's put us all together so that we can get us all through. Well, I don't need the church. Then why are we still here? Why are we still here? Why did He put us together if we don't need each other? Father, thank You, Lord, for this night. Thank You, Lord, for my church.